I was always one of those people that got talked over, got interrupted, you know, just like never felt like I was bringing a whole lot. The second that I started engaging on Twitch, even before that I was streaming, there was just such a hunger and a passion for new music and exciting music and just open ideas.
What's up, and welcome back to the Being in a Band podcast. I'm your host, Monica Strutt, and today I'm bringing to you a conversation with John Garcia, who you might know from such Twitch channels like Stay Puft Mellow and Knotfest. When we crossed paths in 2020, John was working in SEO for a news company. And as you'll hear, as he says in his interview, he was really in a place where he was kind of questioning what he wanted to do in life and what would make him fulfilled. He started his Twitch channel in December of 2020, and by early 2021, he'd not only grown his own channel, but he was then asked to be a host on the brand new channel created by Knotfest. This conversation was actually recorded earlier in the year, but I did take a little bit of a break from the podcast to tour and just recalibrate. With the announcement yesterday of Knotfest coming to Australia for the first time, I thought now is the perfect opportunity to dig out this interview and finally publish it, because it really is a conversation that I want you to hear. I, for one, am so inspired by John's journey, and I know that you will be as well. And, you know, watching his career go from, you know, feeling unfulfilled in a day job to now making sharing music with the world his full-time vocation, it's just really, really cool. I'm pretty sure we do talk about this, but I haven't listened to the full chat since we actually did it. But the way that we crossed paths, he actually found me through a podcast, and it wasn't like a big podcast or anything like that, but I was doing an interview on someone's podcast. And I just remember, even though they didn't have like a giant audience or anything, I remember the conversation being really, really fun. And yeah, I remember just being super authentic and vulnerable and just, you know, showing up as myself. That's what I try and do anytime that I am doing an interview or something like that. And it obviously resonated with John so much so that he ended up reaching out to me in an email, kind of bared his soul. And what he was saying in the email really struck a chord. I had a business coaching program at the time, which was actually closed for enrollment, but I was like, hey, we're a couple of weeks in, but you're so welcome to enroll and join. And he did. And then we later worked together privately over that 2020-2021 transition. And yeah, like, I think what you'll learn from this conversation is that just being consistent in working towards your goals and stepping outside of your comfort zone, showing up authentically, that really is the best way to achieve your dreams. So enjoy this conversation with John Garcia, aka Stay Puft Mellow.
Got it. Zoom robot voice.
Stay Puft Mellow is on the line. Previous client, friend, Twitch streamer. What's been going on?
Oh, man. I mean, a lot and a little, or like a lot and nothing all at the same time, I feel like. My days just kind of like blur together in this like weird mass, because I'm just like constantly listening to music. And then like I kind of set my schedule apart by like the days that I'm streaming right now. Part of that is, you know, because of COVID and everything like that. And I've just kind of gotten used to this, you know, living in this cave that I'm in right now, this like darkened bunker that I spend most of my time in. And part of that is just, you know, because I've just gotten used to working from home and doing what I want to do when I want to do it and all that stuff. So definitely I have some trips coming up pretty soon in April and June. So I need to like reacclimate myself into the world. I think that's what March is going to be. Wait a couple more weeks before actually getting out of my shell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it may be a darkened bunker, but it's pretty lit with neon lights and like some cool background shit, which is nice. Where are you going for your trip?
So in the beginning of April, I'm going to Brooklyn, New York. One of my friends from college is getting married, so that should be a lot of fucking fun. Cool. And then at the end of May/the beginning of June, my girlfriend and I are going to Download Festival in the UK, which I'm really, really stoked about. I bought those tickets like over a year ago, and like we finally booked our last flight, like our flight from London home. And yeah, this is the first time that either of us have been abroad. Iron Maiden is headlining headlining the that Saturday night, so My Favorite Band. I'm going to meet a bunch of people in the UK that have been, like, hanging out on my stream for, like, the past year. We're, like, ridiculously stoked. We're going to go to Ireland and Edinburgh before that, too. So we're making a big old, like, two-week trip out of it.
Yeah.
I'll need my social stamina, Monica, here in a little while, which I have, like, zero of right now.
Dude, it's so crazy because I was just like telling someone yesterday how, you know, obviously we haven't had to be social in like a really long time, and we've been like hibernating and hermits, and especially for like people like you and I who are predominantly talking to people through a screen and like we're working from home still, that it's like it just takes so much more energy nowadays. Like I feel like our threshold for social situations is like way lower than it was before, and I was already like borderline, like I'm half like introvert extrovert, so I think I'm like leaning more towards introvert these days. Yeah, I don't know if you've been finding that as well.
No, 100%. Yeah, no, 100%. My girlfriend and I were just talking about this the other day because we went out to just now get dinner with one of my neighbors. It was her birthday, and so you know we actually put on real clothes. I had like a button up t-shirt. I put on chinos, and I swear to God, Monica, I like looked at her and I was like, I'm pretty sure that I haven't worn these since the job that I was at in March of 2020 went home and went virtual for the first time. I don't think I've worn them since then. And so that's why it's funny you bring it up, because that was top of mind. And we were talking about this the other day where it's like, yeah, we need to like, I don't know, go putt-putting or just like something to like get out of the house to like and like get used to like talking with people. Because if we go from what we're doing right now to an international two-week trip, like I think I will probably just like crumble into a husk of just awkwardness and it won't be very good for anybody.
You need like socialization light. Like I think putt-putt or something like that is like a good idea where there's like people around, but like they're still a bit away from you. Like they're on the next hole or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if you have these, but we have these commercials in the US from Geico, an insurance agency, about like homeowners turning into their parents. Have you seen these?
No, but tell me about it.
Okay, so basically it's just this dude, you know, coaching new homeowners that have turned into their parents from, like, these awkward situations, right? And it's, like, they have it, like, at the airport or at, like, a football game or, like, all these different things where, you know, they're doing all of these awkward, cringy things that you'd expect your parents to do, but, you know, these 20, 30-somethings are doing them. I feel like we need that coaching class for, like, going out back into the world. Like, yes, here is how you introduce yourself to a random stranger. Here is how you accept a compliment. Here is the exact words that you need to say if someone says, how are you doing today? You know, like that type of shit.
Yeah, especially because like we're asking, it's like, is it okay to hug you? Are you doing like handshakes? Are you doing like we had the elbow thing here in Australia for a while. Like they're really heavily like going hard, like everyone just touch elbows, and like all the kids were doing it. And I don't know, that's like traumatizing in itself. So yeah, I would totally be down for that, because even just like walking down the street, it's like, I don't know, if I make eye contact with someone now, I'm just like, it's too much.
Yeah, it's a lot. But again, that's just kind of like where we find ourselves nowadays and stuff like that, right? Where it's so weird. And you mentioned like talking to people through screens and stuff like that. I mean, I feel so in my element, like when I'm on streaming or when I'm talking to people, because it's just like me alone in this room with no one around. And there's that block, right? With all I see, I don't see all these eyes on me like you might see on stage or anything like that, right? It's just like usernames going through like a little small rectangle or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, so I can like talk to all these people or like interview all these people or these, you know, musicians that I'm really big fans of or have like respect for or things like that. But then like when I go to the grocery store and I'm getting checked out by the cashier, I can like barely put a sentence together. Like I don't understand it.
It's like, it's a thing, right? Because I feel like most confident, like this is something I was thinking about the other day as well. Like I feel most confident when I'm on stage and when I have like, obviously, you know, hundreds, and I'm about to play like a run of festival shows in my band. So I have like thousands of people like staring at me. And like, I know that I'm just going to like freaking love it. But like, put me in like a room of like five people, or like maybe not five, but like maybe like seven people who I don't like know very well, or that are just acquaintances. And I'm just like, I don't know. I think I've like, as a performer though, I know how to like pretend to be confident, even though I'm not. Like you kind of pick up those skills along the way.
I don't know. I've heard many performers and artists talk about that, where it's like the intimate gigs that they like, you know, an acoustic show with like 50 people or something are way more nerve-wracking to them than a whole bunch of people, because you could kind of just like, okay, that is just like you have one mass of thing over there, and then you can just kind of separate. You don't see the individual faces or whatever. You can just kind of go off into your own little world, and it's very hard when you can, on the opposite side, when people are like, no, they could actually like engage with you in that. So I get that.
Maybe it's like statistically, because it's like a bigger group of people, statistically, like some people aren't going to like you, but it's like going to be a lower percentage that if there's like more people, whereas like if one person out of five doesn't like you, that's like 1/5 of the audience. So maybe it's that, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I never got to the point in any of like my musical ventures where I was playing in front of hundreds of people or anything like that, but it's always like when you stop a song, there's like five people, boo, you suck. Like you can always hear that more than if there's like a lot of people around, so.
Yeah, it kind of cuts through the noise a bit. So let's like, I want to like talk about how we met and like a bit about your history, because when we met, I don't know when it was, like mid 2020?
It was June or July of 2020. I remember because like, you know, the George Floyd murder had already happened, and like I was like mired in work from the media gig that I was in and all that stuff, and it was just like mentally, physically, like one of the lowest periods I had throughout the entire pandemic. So it was around then. I believe it wasn't any later than July of 2020.
Yeah, right. So at the time you were working in the media industry, and specifically you specialize in SEO. So you weren't like a journalist per se. I mean, you are a photographer though, but you specialize in like SEO and stuff. And it's funny because how this like chat got organized is I actually found the interview that we did for the Being in a Band podcast, like I think either like early 2021 or something. And like the whole thing, like half of it was about like talking about SEO, because that was kind of like your expertise and like how bands can use SEO. I lost that file, and that's why I never went to air, but I'm so glad, like, because so much has happened since then. So tell us how you went from like kind of feeling a bit burnt out in your job, like in media, and like, you know, a bit kind of like emotionally exhausted from it all in the pandemic and all that was going on at the time, to doing what you do now, which is you have two kind of like streaming gigs, your own like Stay Puft Mallow, like Twitch streaming channel, and you also work for Knotfest. Tell us how that kind of developed.
So I guess if we dial it back, I mean, all of the outlets that I had when the pandemic, you know, started basically just went away, right? Like I couldn't go see friends at bars. I couldn't, you know, go to the movies, couldn't, you know, go to shows, which were a big thing. Like I had a lot of shows set up through 2020, like April, May, June, that just, you know, went away and have never come back. So there was a lot of that. And then because I worked in the news media, it was constant, like the churn of content was ever flowing, right? And because of, you know, people that, you know, can think back 1,000 years ago to April of 2020, just like remember about the constant unknowns that were happening, you know, every single day and every single week, and there was always something huge in the news going on. And because I worked in digital media, that was like all we did, right? And we worked from home, so that separation of, you know, that work-life balance really started to erode. And then, you know, I was also feeling, especially like when we met, Monica, you know, feeling a lot of like hopelessness and like, what am I doing to like better society or whatever? Like, you know, I'm just sitting in this safe little spot doing my little like SEO articles or like looking to see what people are searching online, while like some of my coworkers are getting maced and like rubber bullets shot at them in like different cities around the South. And like, you know, people are out there marching in the streets, making all this like, you know, important change and all that stuff. So like that felt, that definitely didn't help like where I was at mentally and stuff like that. But in between that, I found a podcaster that I had been listening to for like heavy metal news and stuff like that. Terry Beezer, goes by Bees, had morphed to doing Twitch as well. So I just like, you know, started watching him, and like the streams were really fun and engaging. And through that, I started, you know, meeting a lot of people and going on these Discord servers or, you know, chatting with people offline and stuff like that. And that really got me thinking, because I had, and I can't remember if we had talked about this before or not, but I had been wanting to stream for like even before the pandemic, but I was like, what am I gonna do? Like, I kind of want to repractice guitar and stuff like that, but nobody's gonna want to watch some dude who sucks at guitar just like play guitar on like, you know, for 3 hours or whatever, very badly, he says now with a hint of regret, right? So, but
not
like,
too
yeah,
late.
So,
not too late.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. I've thought about it, but. So yeah, so I started doing that, and then it was because it was probably about like May or June that I started like, ah, maybe this is something that like I can start doing because it looks like a lot of fun. He looks like he's having a lot of fun, but just from all of the, you know, self doubt, the voices in your head telling you you can't do this or no one's gonna want to watch any, all of that delayed it until about, I think it was like the end of December of 2020 when I did my first Twitch stream, mm-hmm. And it just, I don't know, it just kind of took off from there, I think. Like, you know, I don't want to say I had like immediate success, but certainly I thought that I was going to be streaming to zero people for like weeks or months on end. But because of like being in like on Twitch and engaging with a bunch of people, there was a fair amount of people that like immediately were like, oh, this, you know, it's late, especially in the UK. It was like midnight, one in the morning, or it's like a good after dinner time here in the US when there's not a lot of programming going on because nothing is really going on still in December of 2020. And it just kind of built from there, I think. And it's just one of those things where, I mean, because of all the outlets being gone, like I mentioned, I fell back into just listening and what I call ear chugging music. It's just like putting on as many albums as I can or as many playlists as I can and just like going, diving headfirst into, like, all of this, like, you know, fucking gigantic, disgusting pit that we call heavy music, and just loving so much of it, and it really ignited my love of heavy music for the first time that I haven't felt since about high school. And I know we've like all regressed a little bit here and there in the pandemic because we wanted to go to those like more comfortable times and stuff like that. But I was just like, look, I'm already listening to all of this music anyway. Why not just like go live for 3 hours or whatever, run through albums that I like, songs that I like, bands that I like. We can make games out of it. Watch. I don't even know. We'll do that. And that's kind of where it took off, really.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you did have success. Sorry, it's just like your lighting's so good. Mine's so shit. It just started to like really annoy me.
A work in progress, like I said.
Definitely the wrong angle. But anyway, I need to figure out this room that I'm in. Like thinking back to that time, because we'd been like working together like a little bit before that. I know like one of the before we like dive into like some of the bigger opportunities that you've had since, one of the things that I know like you were struggling with is trying to balance like your day job, which was like pretty intense, like full time, and then with a streaming schedule, which you were going live like 3 times a week. I think mm-hmm. you still have a very similar schedule. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's pretty much the same, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. And it is really hard. Like, and I've side hustled like for years before I went like full time in my business. How did you like, because this type of stuff, like saying like, I'm going to like be on Twitch and I'm going to like really put everything into it. You do need to be consistent and you do need to kind of like go hard as much as you can. How did you work out that balance in the end?
Dude, I honestly don't know. Like thinking back to it, like I honestly don't know how. I kind of do know. It's like I basically just like ran myself into the ground for a little while. But like at first, like when it started, you know, I was like, you know, let me just be consistent. Let me go at least 3 days a week, if not 4, if I can, and try and do that. And I was working around, you know, my work schedule, basically, which shifted all the time, which is one of the reasons why it was run down even to begin with, because, you know, some days I would work at 5 in the morning. Some days I wouldn't go until like 3 p.m. at night. Some days I would start and it would just be like a crazy news day and I would just have to, you know, stay there until whatever we thought that there wasn't anything else that was going to happen anymore. So at first it was okay on doing that, right? Because I was probably online maybe 10 hours a week, just like physically, like on camera, online, you know, not to say anything about like how much time I was preparing or what I was doing after that, but just like just online about 10 hours a week or so. It's just like, all right, I'm working like 40, 50 hours, you know, doing that. I don't have anything else going on, right? It's like there's literally nothing else for me to do. I can, you know, instead of watching a hockey game or something like that, I can spend that 3 hours talking online. And then, you know, so that was pretty consistent, and I was doing really well with that. And then about, like, March-ish, I started getting, you know, in contact with the KnotFest people about doing that. And then when that started happening, that was really when it was just such a... I don't even know. Like, it's honestly, that kind of period is a bit of a blur to me, because especially like Mondays specifically, I would change my schedule a little bit. So I'd be in at work at 6 a.m. so that I could get out by 2:30 and have an hour to like eat lunch or anything like that. And then I would have a stream at 4 p.m. my time for 2 hours, have another hour break, and then have another stream for 2 hours after that. So I was going from 6 a.m. until about like 9, 10 p.m. in the evening, like every Monday, and then would have to get up and, you know, go to work at 7 a.m. the next day and everything like that, right? And then stream on Wednesday night, and then stream on Friday, and then sometimes stream either on Saturday or Sunday. And I like, thinking back on it, I think that the only reason that I was able to do that was because I felt like I didn't really have any other choice. It was just like, I don't like this, like, yeah, this job fucking sucks and I hate it, but, you know, it's paying the bills. And we're in a period right now where I could lose my job tomorrow and I need all the money that I can possibly get. There are bills going on. There was a while there where my girlfriend didn't have a job. She went 5 months unemployed because she worked at a performing arts center, which like June came by and they were like, goodbye, everybody. Yeah. So I was just, I don't know, getting up and doing it, trying to take it one day at a time. And then I don't know, it got to a point where, like, my coworkers were telling me how burnt out I was looking and sounding and feeling, and that my girlfriend was like, I'm really, really worried about you, because, like, you know, I would hit the pillow at 2 a.m. and then wake up at, you know, 6 or whatever, and then, you know, do it all again the next day. And I don't know, I mean, I just did it because, like, I just felt like I needed that paycheck and that extra security and everything, and I didn't really know what else to do. And then once I got to a point where I was like, I literally don't know if I can even stomach this like main job that I had for another like week, because I had already, and I think we've talked about this before, but you know, anybody that is privy to what's been going on in the news industry for the last, you know, decade plus or whatever knows that it hasn't been a very fun place to work. Not even talking about just like the shit that's been going on all over the world, but you know, the way that, you know, the industry is going and how corporations are, you know, sucking up all these small town papers and removing resources from them while expecting them to deliver more content and stuff like that. And so to give an example, I went from just working for the city paper here in Nashville to then working with 6 publications in Tennessee, with then by September of 2021. No, this was just past September 2020. Sorry, my days are all screwed up.
What year is it? I don't know.
Exactly. I don't even know. So I went from 6 publications in Tennessee to 24 publications across Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama, which is just like, when that happened, it was like, I don't know any of these people that are online anymore. I've never met these people. I've never even fucking been to Lafayette, Louisiana. Like, I don't know any of these things. And it was like even more work put on. So like, on top of all the extra work that I was doing just in away from my day job, I had all this crazy work heaped on top of that. And I got to a point where I finally, like, I was working so much that I finally had like a weekend or something like that, and legit went in with my girlfriend and did like, this is how much money is in my bank account. This is how much money I will have by the time that I want to be done or whatever. This is how much money that I need to pay for bills. This is how much money I need for that. This is how much I am probably going to be making. This is how much you're probably, like, we did all of that. And once I finally looked at that and sat down and did those numbers, I was like, fuck, I could do this right now. And, like, literally, I think the next day or, like, the next day or two after that, I told my boss, so I was like, hey, man, I need to, like, I'm going away. I'm leaving. And then ever since then, I haven't really looked back. So it's been really nice. I still feel like I'm recovering from that in a whole lot of ways. It's, you know, I counted up. It's been like 6 or 7 months from that. But, like, even just those first 2 months afterwards, while I was still streaming and doing a lot more stuff that I wanted to do, I was still very much cognizant of the fact that my brain needs, like, the biggest recharge that I can possibly do right now, and I'm going to work either as much as I want or as little as I want, and I'm not going to feel bad if, you know, I work 2 hours one day and 12 hours another day, or just, like, 5 hours each day of the week for whatever it is. I'm just going to do my thing. And it's, like, I honestly, like, thinking back now, don't know, like, how I ever did anything previous to that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's, like, so crazy. And, like, I can relate a little bit to that feeling of, like, I'm done. I'm kind of, like, at breaking point. And I had the exact same situation where I sat down with my partner and, like, worked out finances. And I was, like, for me, like, the first step was dropping down to from 5 days to 4 days a week. And even that was just such a weight off my shoulders. And then I always knew that I was going to be made redundant. And, like, the pandemic hit, so I didn't end up working as many hours during that. So it wasn't like this moment where I was just like, I'm done. But yeah, I definitely had that conversation of, like, working out the finances of, like, how can I do, like, what I need to do and, like, live a more sustainable sort of existence. So I definitely think that that's, like, a really good thing to share. And so it's been, like, yeah, 6 or 7 months since, like, you quit the day job, and now you're just, like, streaming full time basically. So tell us about, like, how did NotFest approach you? Like, how did they find you? Because you started streaming in December, as you said, and then NotFest approached you in March, was it?
Yeah, it was about then. So one of the friends that I made on Twitch who hung out, probably one of the earliest, like, my earliest viewers, was part of the stream that Bees was on doing modding for that, and just happened to, like, wander in on my stream one night that I was doing something, like, really, really early, and then just, like, a friendship blossomed from there, and you know, would hang out whenever they got the chance to do that, and then just ended up working for NotFest at some point sometime in between then, and was just like, hey, they're starting to do this, like, Twitch network, we're looking for a bunch of people to do this thing, I think that you would be really good for that, maybe we can have a conversation. I can't promise anything, but, like, let's have a conversation with the person who's putting this all together and see where that goes. And it just kind of went from there. It was really, like, a right place, right time type of thing. So shout out to Matt Rushton, one of the co-hosts of the podcast Hellbent for Metal, which is a LGBTQ lens through heavy metal, which I think is a fantastic podcast if anybody out there is listening. So I had a conversation with NotFest, and I mean, I guess it went really well, even though I was like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, who the fuck am I? Like, what? And then it just went from there. And then I was like, I'm absolutely not qualified in any way to be doing this. But, like, if you're giving me the opportunity, I'm going to do it. And they haven't yet decided that I'm not part of their plans going forward. So, like, we're still doing the thing, and they're giving me opportunities, and some exciting things have happened and hopefully will happen in the future. So honestly, it was just a right place, right time type of thing. Just, like, making a good friend and then having, you know, whatever type of, like, bubbly personality or whatever shine through enough to be like, maybe we can try this type of thing. Yeah. And from there.
Well, here's the thing, like, from an outsider's perspective, like, it does look like a bit of luck, like, right place, right time. And I had something happen on Twitch recently where someone randomly requested one of our songs, like, on a Twitch streamer. And then we had this US booking agent, like, watching the stream, and then he ended up getting in contact, and now we probably have a US booking agent out of that. And it was like,
yeah.
But, like, the thing is, like, with you, like, yes, it was the right place, right time. But first of all, like, you're good at what you do.
Thank you.
So that's that. Secondly, like you put yourself out there even when you were like fearful, you started your Twitch channel like in December and stuff, and you kept like consistent and working hard. So it was kind of like only a matter of time before someone else like saw that in you, sort of thing. So like, I don't know, like I'm such a big proponent of like you create your own luck, and like it sometimes, people that like aren't successful or whatever are like, oh, they'll just like lucky. But the thing is, like, if you're consistent, if you're good at what you do, if you keep putting yourself out there, it's like literally only a matter of time, in my opinion, that's just my beliefs, before something like this, maybe like a tiny, tiny sprinkling of luck. But like, I don't know, I believe in like, people are meant to be here for a reason, and like their pathway is going to unfold the way it should and all that stuff. So yeah, like I just think that's like such a cool story. And like Twitch is just such an incredible, like, yeah, powerful platform. Like even just, as I said, like that booking agent who just came across our song on Twitch and just dug it and reached out.
Yeah. And like, that's one of the reasons why I keep just doing this, right? Because, I was thinking about this a lot earlier today when just kind of like, what might we talk about? What, like, you know, gather my thoughts about the road that I've traveled thus far and everything like that. And I was always one of those people that got talked over, got interrupted, just like never felt like I was bringing a whole lot. I was always like, these people are talking about this music, so I'll listen to that. But like any band that I kind of like, put into the conversation just kind of goes on deaf ears or whatever, right? Whereas like, the second that I started engaging on Twitch, even before that I was streaming, there was just such a hunger and a passion for new music and exciting music and just open ideas, I think. Like, I think the people that I've met and that have come across my channel and that who engage with, and the people that I've, gone on to engage with in other aspects, are just so open-minded about the music that they want to hear, right? If it's good, it's good. There's no like gatekeeping, or we can't listen to that because it's not cool, or we're not going to listen to that because it sucks or whatever. There's a lot of hunger for just like anything and everything that makes me feel good as a music listener. And I love sharing that with people. And I found so many different bands because of that, bands I would have never come across on. And then exactly what you're saying. And like on the flip side of that is all of these other bands are starting to get discovered as well, because one person will like show me something and I'll be like, wow, that's fucking cool, and I'll play it on my stream, and then the next thing I know, there's 4, 5, 6 other people that are like, wow, I like checked out that CD, and now I bought a t-shirt, or I bought a vinyl or something like that. And it's like, it doesn't sound like a lot in aggregate, but like that, I mean, I know that made a difference to you, right? Mm-hmm. Having some, just randomly someone played your shit and then that led to something else. And like, I'm cognizant of that, and I'm like, that's very much why I just want to, like, I'm so passionate about the music, and by, even if it's shit that I don't like, if someone else likes it and gets a response about that, that's like the coolest fucking thing in my opinion. It's just people getting stoked on something gets me stoked. And like, I think that's the beauty of Twitch, is just the open-mindedness of people wanting to hear new stuff. Because, there's a lot of people on my channels that sit through like an album or a couple of songs of genres or styles that they don't like. But generally, they know that if you stick around for a couple of minutes, you'll probably hear something that will appeal to you. Mm. And I just love that. We're very far removed from like the days of tape trading and Napster and like all of this other shit. And I know that there are a whole lot of, DMCA problems here and there, and Twitch is not a perfect platform, and they have their own problems and flaws in general. But it's like, especially in the age that we're living in, where nobody can go out and do anything, or like couldn't for a very long time, just hanging out with your friends, your buds, your mates, whatever it is, on a Tuesday night and like spinning a bunch of like gnarly death metal or ridiculous power metal or just like awe-catching postman, like whatever it is just like, in my opinion, it's a good way to spend your time.
I love that, ridiculous power metal. So good. Because like I know you're saying that like out of respect as well, and I'm like, that's a great adjective, ridiculous power metal. I mean, like, I'm curious, because I actually don't know, what is the copyright like with Twitch and like playing music and stuff?
I mean, technically we're not supposed to or allowed to do it. It is like, so Twitch will not specifically go after someone if they're playing like music, or, you know, if I played a Foo Fighters song or something like that, right? It's the record labels and, you know, the people who own the music and all that other stuff that, you know, fire at Twitch and send the legal notices and all of that, and then who start getting into, you know, the streamers and whatnot. Thankfully, I haven't had to deal with that. I've heard some horror stories, but, like, I don't do VODs on my channel anymore. I haven't for most of the time that I've been streaming for a couple of reasons. One, because, like, having the copyrighted music up or whatever is a good way for someone to stumble across it and be like, hey, 2 weeks ago you played this song on Warner Records and we're going to go after you because, you know, obviously we have all this money and you're nothing, so we can do that. But also because Twitch mutes a lot of stuff because they, at least what they say is that they want to protect their streamers, right? And so they say, if we think that you are using copyrighted material, we are going to mute your, you know, a portion of your stream. So it was getting to the point that, like, you know, most of my streams, like 2 hours of a 3 hour stream or 2.5 hours of a 3 hour stream were mostly muted. So, like, the VODs were, like, useless anyway. As far as, like, playing and spinning the stuff that I play, for the most part, considering that, just like you, like, I doubt the Last Martyr would have any issue with people playing your stuff on Twitch, especially given, like, you know, the pros that can and have come from that.
Yeah.
So, like, that's something that I keep in mind as well. It's like, look, if there's some, like, grind core band out of Memphis, shout out to Null, they're badass, and that I play their stuff, I imagine that they're probably going to be stoked on that to get that out because they don't have many other platforms. And that's something that we, like, more so with, like, Knotfest and stuff like that, since we have a bigger platform than, say, like, me on my regular channel. You know, if we're doing something on YouTube, we have to go through and, like, whitelist the album or the song or whatever it is. We've been doing a feature every Friday where we listen to a new record that came out that day with, like, one or multiple of the artists. And we have to do a lot of work ahead of time to make sure that, you know, the lawyers and the copyrights are going to come after us. But otherwise, like, you know, bands are stoked when we play their shit on the Knotfest channel. Like, they come on and talk about it. You know, we do different types of, like, you know, show, like, music video voting shows or, like, tournaments or this, that, like, all of this other stuff. And if they see, like, you know, Knotfest shares an Instagram story with their names attached to all of these other bands, like, they're fucking stoked that their stuff is getting playtime. So yeah, it's one of those kind of, like, Wild West type of things where, like, yeah, technically we're not supposed to do it and can, you know, face legal ramifications in certain areas, but, like, we're not playing, you know, Justin Timberlake or Rihanna or Beyonce or anything like that, right? Like, yeah, yeah, we may be playing Metallica or Iron Maiden or stuff like that. But otherwise, you know, we're sticking to, especially on me, like, I'm trying to play as many newer bands as possible. And, you know, I mean, if a band DMs me and says, hey, man, we don't like that you're playing our stuff, you know, for free and we're not getting anything, like, please don't play. I'm like, okay, yeah, like, I won't play your stuff, but I, like, literally,
that
has never happened. No, not even once. No, like, people will, like, send, you know, DM me or something like that when we play a show on, like, I have a host a new music show on Knotfest, and they're, like, fucking stoked when they see that their band is on that playlist or whatever. Or sometimes, like, I've been playing stuff that people have wanted to me to go, because I do, like, request nights or, like, you know, people can spend a couple of bucks and I'll, like, move their song to the front of the queue or whatever it is. And I've had people, like, text their friends in their bands that I'm playing something on the stream that they requested, and then they'll, you know, the bands will get on or, like, message me later and be like, fuck yeah, awesome, like, glad you're finding that, because it's really all it is, right? Is, like, I just want to promote the music that I love, the music that I think is really cool, and I want people to find that type of stuff who are also as passionate or more passionate about the music than I am.
Have you discovered, you mentioned you discovered, like, a bunch of new artists. Is there any that come to mind of, like, oh my God, I'm so glad that I found them? Like, oh, I'm sure there's so many, but, you know, just a couple. Yeah.
Let me see if I can just, like, grab, I'm looking at my best of 2022 playlist right now, because Mesa is one. They have an album coming out on the 11th of March. They're, like, an Italian kind of, like, stonery sludge doom band. They're fucking incredible. trying to think. You know, someone on Twitch actually, I know this is going to sound like heresy, but like I was never really that big into Converge for the longest time. And then someone on Twitch was like, no, like listen to this band, like really listen to this band. And I did. I was like, what the fuck have I been doing this entire time? This band rules.
I love when that happens. Like that's like me. And I actually got someone, like one of my bosses when I was a journalist, onto Parkway Drive. He'd like never really like even listened to Parkway Drive. And I was like, no, like listen to this album. But that's like me. And I was listening to Radiohead yesterday. I know this like isn't very metal, but like I've never like paid attention to Radiohead. I'm like, oh yeah, they have that like one song that was in Romeo and Juliet. That was cool. But I'm like, it came on randomly on like Google Play. And I was like, oh, this band are very good.
Yeah, like, I did think of another one, actually. So because I don't do it as regularly anymore since, you know, doing the stream on Knotfest. Like, I would do this on Mondays, but now I have, like, a whole other different thing going on. But as many times per month as I can, I will try and listen to a full album that I've never heard before. Mm. And I'll take suggestions from people and stuff like that. And while I had heard of them, I had never listened to this band from Belgium called Brutus before. And they're a three-piece. They've got this, like, little tiny woman on drums who also just, like, screams and shouts. Like they're just fucking incredible. Like I listened to the album that everybody like you need to listen to this album Nest that came out a couple of years ago, like do it. So I was like, all right, fine, let's do it. Had never heard it once in my life before, Monica. And I like lost my shit when I was listening to it live. It was like, this is one of the coolest things I have ever heard. And now I've been like refreshing their Instagram feed for like the past year and a half because I'm like, when is new music coming? When is new music coming? They're so fucking good.
So good. So are you a fan of albums? Because like a lot of people are like, oh no, it's too long. Like our attention spans, blah, blah, blah. I know like probably like there's so many like subgenres of metal that still favor albums, but like, I don't know. Like, so you're still like a fan of like listening to albums, like start to finish. Do you ever think like, oh, this is like a lot of, do you ever take breaks?
A lot. Yeah. It depends on the band, honestly. Yeah.
I'm like, am I just like a little ADD person that can't listen to like a full album? I mean, I can like for sure, but like just not very often.
No, I mean, like I've actually, my girlfriend has been telling me to go to the doctor to get checked out for ADHD for a couple of months now. But like, so yeah, I mean, my mind does wander and like wary and stuff like that. But that usually depends on the album. Because to be quite honest with you, Monica, that is like the predominant way that I listen to my music.
Mm-hmm, cool.
Like obviously, like have like 17,000 different playlists that I use for each like stream or each segment or like whatever it is. Like I keep up with new music every week, right? So if it's a new release that came out on a Friday or new single, or if it has come out through the week, it goes into a playlist that I reset every week. And then one of the shows is just like, here's everything that came out today, here's all the singles that came out today, here are the other song new music that came out earlier this week and stuff like that. But otherwise, like I have a spreadsheet, and I've been doing this for since 2020. I have a spreadsheet where I keep track of all of the albums that I'm like waiting to come out that I'm tangentially interested in from bands that I feel like I need to at least keep tabs on, or, you know, really, really big important bands. And that's like what I do. In fact, it's probably how I spend most of my time nowadays, now that I'm not working, is just listening to out. Like I listened to a full album before coming on to talk with you today right now. And I'll probably listen to another two once we get off and like I'm left to my own devices around here and everything like that. It's the way that I prefer to listen to it, quite honestly, like prefer to listen to music. I know that not everybody is in that, so that's why I very much like, I have a specific time Wednesdays when I call, the segment is called an album hang, where we just like hang out and listen to an album. And it's like, okay, for this hour or this 35 minutes or this, you know, whatever it is, we're just going to be listening to one band's record from start to finish. And I usually try to make sure that it's like something that I really enjoy or something that I think the viewers really enjoy or something that's just like objectively like really, really good to try and keep the attention and stuff like that. And then after that, I used to do new music after that, but now we've gone into requests so people can play whatever the fuck that they want after that. So I feel like that's a nice balance. And then, you know, with the discoveries and stuff like that, same idea where people might say like, hey, John, or hey, Stay Puft, you know, this is an album that you need to check out. This is an album you need to check out. So I will cutaway time and say, like, this is something that y'all have said that I need to hear, so we're going to listen to it in full. And generally that works because it's been brought up several times. But yeah, I mean, it's worked for me. I like having the best of both worlds a little bit, because there are a fair amount of people on my stream and that I've talked to, even some of the artists that I've talked to are like, yeah, albums start to finish for me, like, the way to go. And that's just, like, how I've always been. Like, that's how I, you know, listen to Metallica and Iron Maiden for the first time, and it's how I listened to Immolation, like, 20 minutes before coming on today, so...
Yeah. No, I just, when you were talking, I just had this image of, like, someone being like, damn, I've got, like, a 10 o'clock meeting with, like, Jenny from accounts. And you're like, oh, my 10 o'clock is, like, I have to listen to this album from start to finish.
Yes. No,
like, pretty good.
It's what it is, which is great.
Before we wrap up, I would love for you to kind of give us a rundown of, like, for someone who wants to get started with Twitch, how do you prepare, I guess? And, like, what does it look like preparing for a stream? I know you got your spreadsheet.
So I'm a little bit meticulous here and there, more so than a lot of other people are for, like, any of the streams that I do, whether it's just a 15-minute conversation with one person or a big... I hosted a... death metal roundtable with Corpse Grinder, Trevor from the Black Dahlia Murder, and the vocalist from Creeping Death and Undeath. And I literally, Monica, for like 3 days was just a sweaty pile of anxiety as I was like listening to everything that I could possibly do, like listen to all of these interviews from them, draft out questions.
I must know every single thing.
Seriously. It was like, and not even that, but it was just like, you know, it was like almost like writing a novel or whatever, right? You have your first draft and then you're like, well, that sucks, do it again. Like, I was trying to find like questions that not only that I would find interesting, but what I thought that people might want to know, not just like, yeah, so tell us what it's about like to like scream in a band, you know, like some just like actual shit. But so I'm a very meticulous and I way over prepare for everything. But the first bit of advice I would say is just do it. Mm-hmm. Like, just don't even worry about it. Just like, whatever it is, whatever you want to do, know that probably for the first little bit, your stream is going to look like shit. Nothing is going to work right. And you're going to be mad at every single thing because you're like, this is what I want to do. And it should be easy to do this, but yet it's not. So just fucking like get out and do it. But I mean, like, as far as some, like, if someone wanted to, like, really take it seriously, not just like, yeah, I want to play games for fun for an hour or whatever, but, like, really get in and do that, I would say find, like, a cheap-ass ring light. Like, this one that I'm using right now is $20 online. Find some sort of USB mic that you can. You don't need a whole lot. Just whatever is the base type of equipment that will get you through, whether you could plug it straight into your computer or whatever, and just get up and do it. And, like, I think that's the best way to prepare and then figure out where you go from that, because that's kind of what I did. And, like, Twitch is such a – it can be at least, right? You know, because we've heard a lot of, like, shitty stories about, trolling and a lot of, hate speech and, like, flooding stuff with that and everything like that. I have had to kick my fair share of Nazis off of my stream every once in a while, right?
Yeah, right.
But like, for the most part, like all of the like, oh, people are going to make fun of me, or they're going to say that I look weird, or they're going to say that my music taste sucks, or whatever it is. Like, I promise you that those voices are mostly just in your head, and that you can go in and just do the thing, and you know, just baby steps from there. Because like, I started very small when I did everything. Like, I was using a piece of shit MacBook Pro from 2012 with like the shittiest little webcam that I can find and equipment and an interface that I had left over from high school that were somehow just like popping around in like my closet space.
You're like, I knew I kept this for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, you know, I'd, you know, record like shitty guitar tracks or whatever, or something like that. So I was lucky enough where I had all of that other stuff. But even if I didn't, I would have spent like the littlest amounts of money because I didn't know where it was going to go. And then, you know, my stream looked like shit. It didn't work properly most of the time. There was a bunch of lag, like all of that other stuff. But like, I kind of just went through and, you know, blew past it, I guess, and was just like, well, this is what I'm doing. And all those things kind of figured themselves out as I went on. I was able to, like, get more equipment and find out different types of stuff and, like, read articles about, like, what type of lighting looks good and, like, what you should be doing and what equipment is here and there. But, I mean, like, I would have never gotten to that point if I just, like, didn't just start doing it immediately, I guess. And it wasn't even immediately, right? Because we talked about this earlier where I overthought it for like months and months and months. And I probably could have overthought it for another couple of months, but I just gave myself a deadline in my head. Be like, look, you've got a microphone, you've got a computer, you've got this, you've got that. Like, we were talking about this way, way long ago. I don't know if you'll remember this, Monica, but the lighting that I used was an LED light that I used for my, when I was a photographer, that I turned into a softbox by taping paper towels over it. I taped paper towels over it until it was like the right amount of light because it was way too powerful. And I just had that sitting there.
Pray that it doesn't catch on fire.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just sitting here and I used that for, I was using that when I was still doing KnotFest streams, so it was, like, not too long ago as I was doing that.
Yeah.
So that's my advice, is just do it, and if you want to prepare, do. There are tons of good articles and good videos out there to be, like, the beginner's guide to streaming. Here's what you need. It'll say, you know, here's a $200 microphone, but you can really buy one for, like, $50, and it'll be fine. And then you can just grow and step up from there, because I definitely think that it's a stepping stone process type of thing, right? Like, you don't want to go out and buy a $800 Stratocaster when you're first learning how to learn how to play guitar, right? You want to do baby steps and work your way up to that, and I think that streaming is the same exact way.
Yeah, absolutely. Messy inspired action, and be resourceful, like, just and then just keep improving as you go. I love that. Well, thank you so much for having a chat with me today. It was so good to catch up. Like, I was like, I'm just gonna press record like ASAP, because I feel like I'm probably gonna ask you like what's been happening and stuff, and I might as well just record that. But yeah, where can everyone find you? Give us your handles for your own channel and for KnotFest as well.
Yeah. So my Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch are all uniform. It is staypuffed_malo. So it's staypuft_MALLOW. I had to think about that for a second. And then, so you can find me there. I am streaming on my personal channel Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Central Time, Fridays 5 p.m. Central Time, or 7 p.m. Central Time for reasons I'll make clear in a second. And then we do a Sunday hang at 1 p.m. Central Time as well. So I'm always there. And then on KnotFest, you can find me on YouTube or Twitch at KnotFest Official. That's all one word. KnotFestOfficial. Ding! I think I spelled that right. And then so I'm there every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific time. So for those of you who are like, wait, he was just talking about Central time. That's 4 p.m. Central time. I'm there with our mutual friend, Corey Westbrook, Monica. We talk about new music all the time, like new and exciting bands, bands that are not your typical, like, oh, here's, you know, this band, here's Ghost again or something like that. I love Ghost, but, you know, they're way too big for the show that we do. And then every other week until May 1st, Trevor Sternad from the Black Dahlia Murder is going to be joining us as well. He has his just chest of disgusting underground music that is sure to haunt your ears. And then you can also find me most Fridays at 6 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time for First Listen, which is, I mentioned earlier, we sit down with an artist that have just released an album that day, and we listen to the whole thing. You can ask questions about it. I ask them questions. You know, sometimes they drink beer and have a good time, and it's like a really good fun stream. There you go. StayPuffed_Malo for my personal channel on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays, and then KnotFest Official on Mondays and Fridays.
Hell yeah. Oh my God. It's been so cool, like, seeing your career kind of blossom over the last like couple of years. And I'm very, very excited to see what you're doing next.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on, Monica. I mean, you're a big part of that, you know, from just the coaching and the life advice and the friendship and all of that. From, you know, I think about where I was before we ever, like, had any contact or anything like that. And that dude is just, like, five lifetimes ago or whatever. So, like, you're a big part of that as well. So I appreciate you and thank you. And, yeah, do that hair flip.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. Well, yeah, I'm sure I'll speak to you soon anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.